Greetings, friends, and welcome to the Beach Church Podcast. This is the podcast for Sunday, January 22nd, the year of our Lord, 2023. And this is the third Sunday after the Epiphany. Blessings to you. It's a joy to welcome you here to the podcast today. No matter where or no matter when you're listening, I just pray that you will find this to be a time of rest and renewal, reflection, and spiritual growth. And let's begin where we always begin here at the podcast, by celebrating the gift of life itself and the breath of life. So let's all take in a deep breath and give thanks to God for this moment and for the in and the out, the breath, the breathing of everyday living. Turn your face toward the sky. Think about the people that make you smile, the best things of your life. Give thanks to God for everything. And in this spirit, let us join together in worship. Please join with me in the opening prayer. You can find the prayer printed in today's bulletin if you just go over to the right of where you found today's podcast and click on that notes tab, tap on it, the bulletin will come up. Let's begin. O God, you spoke your word and revealed your good news in Jesus, the Christ. Fill all creation with that word again, so that by proclaiming your joyful promises to all nations and singing of your glorious hope to all peoples, we may become one living body, your incarnate presence on the earth. Amen. Today's gospel reading comes from the Gospel of Matthew, in the fourth chapter, verses 12 through 23. Now when Jesus heard that John had been arrested, he withdrew to Galilee. He left Nazareth and made his home in Capernaum by the sea, in the territory of Zebulun and Naphtali, so that what had been spoken through the prophet Isaiah might be fulfilled. Land of Zebulun, land of Naphtali, on the road by the sea, across the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. The people who sat in darkness have seen a great light. And for those who sat in the region and shadow of death, light has dawned. From that time, Jesus began to proclaim, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." As he walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And he said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fish for people." Immediately they left their nets and followed him. As he went from there, he saw two other brothers, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John, in the boat with their father Zebedee, mending their nets, and he called them. Immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. Jesus went throughout Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and curing every disease and every sickness among them. This is the word of God for the people of God, and we give thanks to God for it. Heavenly Father, thank you for the gift of this, your good word, our Gospels, the enduring good news. We gather to listen, we gather to learn, we gather to be inspired and to be healed and to be changed by this Gospel. So we pray, join us here. Bless us in this moment. Save us from distraction, from misinterpretation. Help us to hear exactly what it is you need us to hear. We pray this in your holy name and say, Amen. The other night after dinner, sitting around with my family, we were talking about a variety of things. But one of the conversations we landed on was, we put it under the category of, what do you want to do next? Especially for young people, talking about people in their late teens to mid-20s, this is a question they get asked a lot. They think about it a lot. They have conversations among their peers about it. This moment in life when you're looking out ahead at your future and you're trying to make decisions now that have short-term, immediate impact, and that yet you're hoping to reach a destination maybe somewhere down the road. And there are the practical questions, this the basic practical questions of generating enough revenue to meet your needs, to find that apartment that you want to get with your friends, to be able to afford the lifestyle that you aspire to. And then there's maybe the loftier questions about what do you want to do next? What kind of work do you want to do? Work that you pray will be satisfying, not only help you meet your financial needs, but also might be gratifying in terms of where it takes you, the kinds of problems you're engaged to solve. It's an important question. It's central to us. And I think one of the things that we need to be mindful of, and I think that Jesus begins to hint at here, is the foundational question is to remember who you are and to separate what you do for a living from who you are as a beloved child created by the Most High God. We encounter Jesus today. He's just returned. We don't know how recently, but he has returned from his retreat in the wilderness where he's been tempted by the devil. The devil has asked him, posed some temptations and challenges to him, and Jesus has resisted, steeped in his identity as the living word of God. He pushes back at the temptations of the devil. But one of the things he does say essentially is this: just follow me. Right, this will connect a little bit later on. Just bow down and worship me is what Satan says. So with that in mind, maybe still echoing in his ears as he now begins his public ministry, he gets word that John the Baptizer has been arrested, which puts him on notice that maybe I need to put a little bit of distance between me and those who are seeking to put down this nascent movement that they see developing. And so when Jesus had heard that John had been arrested, he withdrew to Galilee. He left Nazareth and made his home in Capernaum by the sea. And then Matthew goes on to show how that movement ties into the ancient story. It's not happenstance. It actually is in keeping with the prophecy of Isaiah. It's happening in the immediate time, but it's rooted in their ancient story, this movement into Gentile territory, into an area that was known as darkness, as a region and shadow of death. Into that region, Jesus comes. Into that region, light has dawned. And so from that time, Jesus began to proclaim, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." He begins to build on John's ministry and then becomes its fulfillment. And as we carry on then, now in the 18th verse of chapter 4, we hear the call stories of the first disciples. So having gone across the river, now being light in this shadow of darkness, Jesus walked by the Sea of Galilee. He saw two brothers, Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And he said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fish for people." Immediately, they left their nets to follow him. And as he went from there, he saw two brothers, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John, in the boat with their father Zebedee, mending their nets. And he called to them. Immediately, they left the boat and their father and followed him. Let's pause for a moment. Jesus finds himself in Gentile territory. This is not like being in Jerusalem. There's a mix of folks there. There are Jews and non-Jews. And he is there at the shore among working folks. And he's doing some recruiting because he knows for this movement to begin to gain momentum, he needs people around him. And he identifies these fishermen. And he calls them, and they follow. And it seems peculiar because there's no presentation. He doesn't sit them down and make a pitch. As far as we can see, there's no glossy brochure, you know, like on the cover of it, it says, "Follow me." And there's these high gloss pictures of what it would be to follow Jesus. There's none of that. Scholars have speculated that they might have known him. His reputation will very likely precede him. And he knew them to some level. But it was on this day that the time was right that he would come and make the ask, the invitation. Follow me. I see you there doing your work, your vocation, the thing that you do to make a living, to provide for yourself and for your families, and to put food on others' tables as well. But I have a calling for you. I want you to use every skill you've developed as a fisherman, your patience, your diligence, your capacity for hard work, your ability to go hungry for days on end until the next catch comes in. I could use some guys like you. I want to show you things that you've never, ever imagined you'd see in your life. Come with me. And there's something about the invitation that he makes that is so compelling that they, as Matthew tells it, they just drop everything. And they follow, because what he's offering to them in that moment, his presence, the presence of Jesus, the truth and the grace and the light, and again, the reputation that precedes him, they drop everything and they want to be a part of this new thing that he's inviting them into. And as we learn later on in the Gospels, one of their motives was they thought they might be getting in on the ground floor of a movement that would provide for them greater power and greater riches. But even as he teaches them that that's not the case, they persist in following. Follow me. It's a different kind of request. This isn't a temptation like Satan offered. Satan's temptation was a bait and switch. Satan's temptation was, look, you could have all this. Look, Jesus, listen, don't mess around with this earthly confine. Why don't you jump off the temple and fly around? Show these people who you really are. Follow me. Just follow me and you can do all these things. Satan is serving Satan's best interest. Jesus calls them to serve the interests of the world. He calls them out to this mission of self-sacrifice, to drop the nets and take a risk for the love of the world. So that, as he says, I'll make you fisher of men. His lure, his bait has no switch. His bait is to attract people into this healing love and grace. Well, the story continues on. Let's just read a little bit further and beyond what our lectionary reading is today. He makes the call. They drop the nets and they follow. Jesus went throughout Galilee teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and curing every disease, every sickness among the people. So his fame spread throughout all Syria, and they brought to him all sick, those who were afflicted with various diseases and pains, demoniacs, epileptics, and paralytics. And he cured them, and great crowds followed him from Galilee, the Decapolis, Jerusalem, Judea, and from beyond the Jordan into a land of suffering and sickness, into a land of disorientation and mental confusion, into a land of darkness, of deep darkness. A light had come. And what they knew first and foremost about him is that he could heal. He possessed a power that they'd never seen before. He could heal more perfectly than any physician. He could help them understand the ancient scriptures better than any scholar or rabbi that they'd ever seen. And he didn't seem to be taking a dime for it. There didn't seem to be any earthly value in it for him. He seemed to give it all away. He came up to these first of his disciples who were engaged in the family business, and maybe the others were getting ready to start their own, to cut a swath, to make a living in the world, to do what you got to do to get by. And he sees it and he recognizes it and he loves them and he needs their tenacity and their skill. And when he needs someone who can help them balance the books, he calls a tax collector. And when he knows they're going to need a little muscle now and then, he calls the sons of thunder. And when he knows they're going to need someone to keep it all together and to manage it, there's the story of all the faithful women that followed as part of their movement as well. When we ask ourselves, or when we ask the young people in our lives, what do you want to do next? I think we also owe it to them to give them opportunity to consider first and foremost who they are in the eyes of their Creator, that they are fearfully and wonderfully made, that they are far more than any utility that they can provide for some employer or any money that they can generate, that once they have that epiphany, that they are participating in an ancient and sacred story, that theirs is to contribute their life, their skills, everything that they've been gifted to do, in part and on behalf of the family of God, the work that perhaps once seemed mundane is redeemed and understood to be beautiful. The job that you thought that you had to endure because it was your lot in life, the abuse of an awful boss can be rejected. As you can lean in and you can hear the words of Moses saying, "Set my people free." They are not mere brickmakers, as you suppose. They're not mere field laborers. They're not just utility. They're all miracles of their Creator, not to be exploited for mere gain. Follow me. Follow me and be daily reminded of the mysteries of life. Follow me and be daily reminded of what is good and lovely and right and pure and true. And then when you pull up to your job site or to your office, and when you engage with other people who the light seems to have gone out and darkness and chaos seem to rule in their world, you can come alongside and maybe offer them the first cup of generosity that they've seen in a while. Maybe you can be the first compassionate listening ear. Maybe you can tell them for the first time of the story of the rabbi who went down to the seashore and said to some simple, hardworking, faithful men and women, "Follow me." And maybe that is their entrance into the eternal, their experience of this kingdom of the heavens that draws near. And they can participate in what we know to be very, very good news, to which we say, Amen. Gracious and merciful God, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, God of Mary and Joseph, God of Peter and Paul and the disciples, We just call to you. We pray to you. And we confess the many ways that we get it wrong, that we close our eyes to you, that we stop our ears to you, the times that we just want to turn around and run the other way because sometimes faith feels hard. We give you thanks for every single time that you've picked us up and dusted us off, pointed us toward home, and led the way. We pray, O God, for the people in positions of leadership and power, O God. Bring your conviction and your truth into their hearts, each and every one of them. For the folks on this moment, in this moment, who are feeling just sad and scared, who are in this dark place, show them light and truth and hope. And how can each and every one of us listening right now represent that hope and truth and light? And for those of us who feel in a deep darkness, bring that light into our lives. Send us your angels. Send us that friend, that person, that colleague, that coworker who can lift us up and encourage us and remind us that we are beloved children of the Most High God. You, O God, are our refuge. And there are many, many things, O God, that we pray for, people and places and situations. There are celebrations that we're in the midst of right now, God, and we give you thanks for all of it. And there are hard things that we're in the midst of, O God. Healthcare things, family tensions, financial issues. Show us the way. Lead us home, we pray, dear God. We keep these things often. We keep them on a prayer list. Sometimes we write them down. Sometimes we just repeat them in our minds. But in this moment, O God, we make silent space to share these lists with you. Quietly and faithfully listen for your voice. We break our silence. We thank you for the gift of peace and quiet. And we celebrate the gift of prayer. This prayer that you taught us. Hear us, O God, as we say together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. dear ones, as we part company today, I pray that we will do so with a renewed and refreshed spirit, so that if somebody else asks us, what are you going to do next? If something in our heart is saying, what are we going to do next? That we'll pause and we'll listen for the one who draws near and says, follow me. He's calling. Every day Jesus is calling. Every day is an invitation to follow. Follow in the way of God, our God, who we know in three persons, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, who is calling you in the way of peace. Go in peace. Amen.